And he said, well, why do we need to be, why do we need to pick on people? It's like, the reason we need to pick on people is because we find people in three basic groups. One, you've got the believers who believe the word of God. Okay? They're sincere. Second, you've got the people who do not believe the word of God. They're absolutely against the word of God. They're against God. It doesn't exist. So you got these, we can live happily ever after. The pros and the cons are going down our way, pointing at each other. But the problem comes, there's this group in the middle who are like, they're deciding and they're influenced by the first or the second group, the believers or the non-believers. And we have a mandate. We have an obligation to understand the truth, be able to defend the truth. It's both offense and defense. Offensively, you need to be able to, in a sense, have your own faith and say, this is why I believe what I believe. For yourself, and for others, say your family, or say people in your community, or people that you know around that would ask you questions, people at work. You need to be able to say offensively to your own soul, I know this is true because here's my offense. For yourself and for others. But you also have to be defensive. Because there are those outside that are arguing, and rightly so. Argue away. Present your case. They'll come, and you're going to have some kind of defense. They'll say, well, I don't know. I've never thought about that. I don't know. I have no defense for that. If that's the case, the people in the middle are going to be pulled to the side that makes the most sense, the side that can defend themselves, the side that's got the best offense. Basic sports, you understand? Two teams, good offense, good defense, that's what's going to win the ball game. Now the ones who have the most colorful helmets, you know, the best shoulder pads. But here he tells Pilate, I came into the world to testify to the truth. In other words, there is a truth there. And Jesus is saying, I am testifying, I am a witness, and I'm pointing towards this truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. I mean, so in other words, Jesus himself used the term on the side of truth. In other words, he himself is dividing people. He says there are going to be groups. I am testifying to the truth because I'm on the side of truth, and if you listen to me, you're on the side of truth. Which indicates, obviously, there are those who will reject the truth, which means they're on the other side. They are not our enemies. We don't hate them. We're not going to bomb them. We instead realize that is a path of destruction, and for two reasons. One, because we're concerned we're going to testify the truth to them, and to honor God in front of them, we're going to testify the truth. We want them to come over to the side of truth. Otherwise, it's sure destruction, either in time or ultimately eternal. Romans 1 verse 18, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven. Now that's not a positive thing. The wrath of God. The Bible is focused on God's love as he draws people towards him. But there is definitely this wrath of God that is waiting or is coming. It's aimed at those who have rejected the truth. God's love is drawing people, drawing them away from what? His wrath. Because God is going to judge those who come against truth. Here we go. In our day, we would assume, there are people who the truth is available, but they're suppressing it. They don't want the truth. And God is saying here, if you take this truth and you shove it aside, if you suppress it, he says the wrath is coming at you. And his mercy calls you. In other words, you are on a mercy mission. People say, well, you're critical. You're being judgmental. Yes! Because if we don't make contact with these people, they are standing in the way of a freight train called the judgment of God. Well, you're just a... I'm not going to send lightning bolts out of heaven. What am I going to do? I only have my word. The Bible does not give me a mandate to kill them. The Bible doesn't give me a mandate to bomb them. The Bible gives me a mandate to proclaim the truth to them. And they say, well, that's not very nice. What? It's not very nice to say, listen, you're going the wrong way. There's a train coming. You are so judgmental. You know what would be cruel? And I've done it. Forget it. You're fine. Stay there. And walk away. And just watch the explosion. Wasn't me. Sorry. But the compassion of God, the mandate of God, the gift and calling that God has given to me, to the church, is to say to them, hey, there's a phrase, the wrath of God is being revealed against those who have suppressed the truth. You are on a path to destruction. And we need to not only know it, but we need to be able to defend it and do our job to rescue people from it. Jude ends his book, no matter how critical he was of the opposition, the godless teachers, he ends by saying, giving you three methods. You must get these people out of the fire. You must rescue them. You must use mercy. You must use fear. You've got to do something to get these people out of the way of this judgment, of this eternal combat that has been going on in our world. Look in John chapter 8, verse 44. Okay, we go back here. He's arguing with some Jews, and they say in verse 41, they say, we are not illegitimate children. The only father we have is God Himself. Now see this right here? They say the only father we have is God Himself. And Jesus should have said, yes, my dear children, we are all God's children. They say, we are God's children. And God is our Father. He's the only God we have. Jesus said, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I came from God. He said, we're not talking about the same God. They say, God is our Father.
Jesus, I don't think God's your Father. Because if He was your Father, you would love me, for I came from God. I know Him. And now I am here. I have not come on my own, but He sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? He said, why don't you understand what I'm saying? He said, and he answers this question. It's a rhetorical. So why can't you hear what I'm saying to you? What do you think? Oh, God's all of our Father. Why do you say that? He said, you can't hear what I'm saying. Why?
And he said, because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil. And you want to carry out your father's desire. So now all of a sudden he's looking at Jews from the same nation as him, in a sense from the same religion as him. They're in Jerusalem, they're in the temple. And they say, we're God of our father.
Well, he said, I don't think so.
We have the same nation, we have the same religion, we're in the same city. Abraham's our natural father. But he said, if God is really your spiritual father, you'd be listening to me because he sent me to talk to you. He says, no, he says, your father is the devil. You're on a completely different side. You've got a completely different truth. He was a murderer from the beginning, thus Cain, killing religion, true religion, not holding to the truth, rejecting truth, holding to a lie. He's not holding, your father, he says, is not holding to the truth, which means what he's teaching you is a lie. It's an illusion. You're deceived. For there is no truth in him. He can't even help you. When he lies, he speaks his native language. Now that's pretty sarcastic. He says, whenever he speaks his native language is, what does he speak? He speaks lie. Does he speak English or French or Spanish? No, he speaks lie. His native language is lie. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 17. Let's get at verse 15, and I'm reading this, and then we're going to quit. Chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, verse 15. Do your best. He's talking to Timothy. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. He's telling Timothy, Timothy, your job is to prepare yourself so you can present it. He's a pastor, he's a Bible teacher, that you can present the word of God, present the truth. And the word there, correctly handled, means correctly cutting. It means correctly dividing. I mean, there's so many things in that word right there. Is you can take the Bible and make it mean whatever you mean. It makes me angry. It's one thing that just makes me angry. When you hear people grabbing verses out of context and shoving them at you, say, this is what the Bible says. Correct. That's the word. But you've removed it from its context. That's not even what it's talking about. And they take those verses. It's like taking a Frankenstein and separating all of these words or all of the verses. I'll give you this example. Take all the verses of the Bible and just scatter in verse context. And then just sort through them. And you get this, Jesus is. And you get all the verses. And you can make any Jesus you want to. Just grab a verse here and put it up there. Grab a verse here. And you can create any kind of Jesus that you want to. If you divide all the verses. Well, heck, if you're going to divide the verses, why don't you divide the words up? Just put all the different words. All the is's over there and all the us and all the righteousness and justification and all these different words, and then just build your own sentences. Well, why stop there? Why don't you take all the letters of the alphabet, scatter them, and build your own words to build your own sentences to make your own verses? I mean, you can't start misdividing words. You've got to leave the verses, you've got to leave the letters in the words in the sentences in the verses, and the verses in their context. Thus, Paul tells Timothy, correctly handles or rightly divides the word of truth.